Good morning and happy Father's Day to all fathers, but also I'd like to say it's a happy day when we have God the Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit within our lives. It's a happy day every day. Even though it may be a bit of a struggle in the day, it can be a happy day every day. So if you'd like to put that first, no, next. Right, there we go. Look at that. I'd also, before I start, I'd just like to echo what Karen said regarding ministers and ministers, our pastors, having been in that situation for 20 odd years, and I know one or two others in this congregation that are retired or semi, I don't think we ever retire as ministers, pastors, do we, John? No. it can be a struggle at times. I've mentioned to some of my fellow members that have been in ministries before, you know, I've walked away some Sundays from church and gone, really? You know, I echo Jesus' words and go, how long do I have to put up with you people of going this way? You know, can't you see what it is that the Bible's trying to tell you? And this is where Satan really gets in. And, you know, I've seen it myself over the time of pastors that have totally fallen and gone exactly the opposite way. So, yes, it is very tough at times. But aside from that, let's get on to a father's joy. What I want to do this morning is have a look at a number of areas. I want to have a look at what a father is in the Old Testament. I want to have a look at what a father is in the New Testament. I want to have a look at fatherlessness. I also want to have a look this morning at what it is that is happening within Australia at the moment with children and fathers. And then I want to give you, like I usually do, I want to give you something to take away that you can hold on to of what a father is to be like. So what the model of a father is to be like. But before we start that, you've most probably seen this before. One more.
Yeah. Oh, we can go in.
Good girl.
Come on, the hardest one. Yeah.
That's it, mate. You're doing it.
Which one do you want? There it goes. Come here.
Certainly, when you look at that, it is very interesting that we have to put an ad on TV to show what fathers have to be like. It's a great ad, but there's many, many of those ads, and it's not just in Australia either. When I was doing research for this, I found that it is in a lot of countries, these ads, that we have to show what a father is to be like. But anyway, Let's have a look at an Old Testament father. In the Old Testament, the father was the main figure who wielded authority and commanded respect. He was to be honored and obeyed. He possessed almost unlimited power over the lives of the members of his family. He could even sell his daughter into slavery, have his son stoned if the son attempted to stray from the father's religion, or if the son was a glutton or a drunkard. Serious offences could result in the death sentence or a birthright being removed. The father had certain responsibilities of love and care and protect and train and educate and discipline his children. See, God made Abraham the father of a multitude of nations. And he gave him, or it was Abram, he gave him a new name, Abraham. God is the father of Israel, and Israel is God's son. God declares himself to be the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. The ultimate expression of a father is in God sending his only son into the world of sin, death, hell, and the cross. God is father, not by independent decision, but in his very nature and being. God is not love because he loves. He loves because he is love. Can I labour on that one just a fraction? Within ourselves, we tend to compartmentalise things. We've got this little bit here, I tend to think, for love, and we've got this little bit here for something else, and this little bit here for something else, and a bit more, and a bit more. God the Father is not like that. He is not compartmentalised. He is 100% love. He is 100% peace. Every characteristic you can think of that God the Father is, he is 100% of, not part of. Please clearly get that in your mind. It is vitally important. God is not a father because he has a son. He has a son because he is a father. Father and son are so related that if the son loses the father, he loses himself. Where the son is not connected to the father or rejects the father, sin is present. So what I'm trying to say there is, if we lose a connection with the Father, sin is present. We fall into sin. Now, there is no way that Jesus could end up being disconnected from his Father. However, when we look at the communion table here, which we're going to look at later on this morning, then we do see a disconnection there for a few hours. See, my belief is, I'm getting ahead of myself, my belief is that when Jesus was on the cross and that 3 hour of darkness, God the Father saw the blackness of our sin all upon his Son. Every single little bit of it. And what I tend to think that happened is God the Father could not stand that. It ripped his heart out so much that he went, I can't look at him. I can't look at the sin that has come upon him. Let me not get ahead of myself. Okay, Old Testament father. Esau, anguished over losing his father's blessing. One whole chapter of Genesis describes the blessing Jacob gave to his 12 sons. Father had to convey all the written laws to his children. When a boy became old enough to work with his father, the father became his principal teacher. For example, Jesus becoming a carpenter like his father. I had a phone call from my son, my youngest son, yesterday evening. Unexpected, because I only spoke to him one or two days before, and he works 3 weeks on and 3 weeks off, and he works over in Broome in Western Australia. And we were talking, and I said about the fact I grew up with a father who owned trucks, and I said, you know, from a very young age, I said, one of the things I did and was taught by my father was how to change tyres, how to change the oil, how to grease the truck, how to do all sort of minor maintenance things. And I said, I started that at about 5 to 7 years of age and just kept on going. And we were talking about different aspects of that. But learning from your father, not that I ended up becoming I did for a while, about 12 months or more, I became a truck driver, but there was other things that I needed to go on to as well. But just learning from your father, and this same with the Old Testament. New Testament pictures Abraham as our father, and the blessing that came through him is the gift of Jesus, through whom all the nations will be blessed. So that's our Old Testament father. But what about our New Testament fathers? See, these are Jesus' own words from John 5. I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. For the Father, Heavenly Father, loves the Son and shows himself all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that he will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives him life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it to. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son just as they honour the Father. Whoever does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. As I said earlier on, God did not abandon at any time his Son. Even, as I said earlier on, when he was on the cross, he did not abandon him. He was still there for him. Irrespective of, he still loved him. The Son still loved the Father, no matter what. There could not be that separation. And this is what Jesus was showing us. This is what God the Father was showing us. Let's have a look at a bit more from Matthew. With the baptism of Jesus, found in the Gospel of Matthew, speaks powerfully to the issue of fatherhood. Though the passage marks the inauguration of Jesus' earthly ministry, these verses allow us the privilege of beholding one of the most intimate interactions between Jesus and his Father. In the beauty of this moment, we see Jesus acting in love, obedience to his Father, and the Father disclosing to the world, unashamedly, how deeply he loves his Son. The divine warmth of this Father and Son embrace radiates life-changing truths that powerfully address the subject of fatherhood. You see, God the Father at that time said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." He's saying, "I love you, Son. I love everything about you. Even though I know at some point you are going to have a very, very difficult time. You are going to be blackened. But I am not going to abandon you. I still love you, no matter what. So, let's have a look also from Matthew 6 in the Lord's Prayer. And it tells us something of fatherhood as well. See, our Father who is in heaven, he is present and attentive. He desires the best for his children, us. Give us our daily bread. He provides for his children our daily needs. Not our wants, our daily needs. Forgive us our debts. He forgives us for what we have done, providing we go to him and confess that. Deliver us from evil. He protects his children from the evil that is within the world, that pervades all around us. His kingdom come and will be done. He gives his children hope for the future. This is the prayer that Jesus taught us. This is the prayer that most of us tend to know, that we grew up with. And this is the meaning behind it. Listen, you could spend 12 months or more just on that, and even longer if you wanted to. That is a very, very brief overview. So this is the reaction between what Old Testament and New Testament, the Old Testament fathers seem to be at times quite harsh, but yet in another loving sort of way. New Testament and what Jesus seems, we can see that love coming from the Father to the Son. But let's have a look now, because we see so much within our society today of fatherlessness. See, fatherlessness adversely affects individuals. It affects families. It affects neighborhoods. It affects churches, cities, and nations. See, fatherlessness and the family. Fatherlessness and the family breakdown cost Australia $13 billion, with a B, dollars per year. And if you let your mind go on and you think, well, how on earth could that be? We'll see it in a little bit. But unfortunately, it is plaguing our society at the moment. That's why earlier on we had the ads, Dads for Kids. It seems to be one of those Western society things. That breakdown in the family. Also, fatherlessness impacts education. It impacts poverty levels, social behaviours with low self-esteem, healthcare, increase in sexual issues, emotional development, substance abuse, suicidal behaviour. And this is only a small list. Coupled with the fatherlessness crisis is the intimate struggle men encounter in not only trying to be a present father, but being a good father as well. Being present is one thing. Being a good father is a whole nother issue. Many dads are present in the home, but being present is no guarantee that they are the loving and nurturing fathers God intended them to be. At present, bad dads can have and do equal amount of damage as a fatherless home. And in some cases, the damage can even be more to the family and to the children. Men who love their families constantly grapple with this question. According to the Australian Bureau of Statistics, 870,000 children, around one in six, live without their biological father at home. 71% of high school dropouts are fatherless. Fatherless children have more trouble academically, scoring poorly on tests of reading, mathematics, and thinking skills. Children from father-absent homes are more likely to be truant from school, more likely to be excluded from school, more likely to leave school at an early age. And most research focuses on two major causes for the growth in fatherlessness since the early 1960s. Divorce and out-of-wedlock births. The number of divorce results adults in 2008 was 844,400 compared to 393,000 in 1960. You can see it's a growing trend. It's an unfortunately a growing trend. So what impacts fathers today? What impacts are there on we as fathers? Men and boys do not know how to be good husbands, fathers, or even being a male. You see, what impacts is finances, time management, common mental health challenges, addiction and problem gambling, workplace challenges, relationship conflicts, racism and discrimination, housing and financial insecurity, anger management, lack of confidence. The ideal man is often what makes a man suffer the most. As a man, you're expected to be tough, you're expected not to cry, and you're expected to be the breadwinner for the family. This leads to other issues, such as you're expected to be a father, you're expected to love sports and not want to share your emotions, because doing so means that you're weak. If you show even the hint of weakness, society tends to eat you alive. You see, without a father figure in the home, boys are going from female-dominated home environments to female-dominated school environments, where less than one in nine school teachers is a man. Back into female-dominated home environments, where boys are being told to behave. These same environments demean boys and young men just for being male, but at the same time only reward them when they man up. With such mixed messages, it's no wonder many boys and young men are struggling, either in school or afterwards, with emotional disturbances, in interactions with the opposite sex, or drug use and gang activities. These are not things I have made up. These are things that research is showing right now today. One of the things, I suppose, in all of that I tend to struggle with, and I did during my time in 20 odd years in the military. My first 10 years, I counted up roughly that I had 12 months away from home in my first 10 years in the military. Children were only being born then, in the early years. In the second 10 years, when by that stage my children were just starting to get into the teenage years, my two boys, in 10 years I had 4+ years away. I can tell you right now, I still struggle with it today. And I've been out of the military for 20-something odd years. I struggled because I could not teach my sons what I needed to. I would spend 7 months away at any one time, never coming home across the other side of the world. It's not that I want you to feel sorry for me, but these are the sorts of things that as a parent, as a father, can impact us. Now, that's just military. I know lots of other occupations where fathers are away for considerable periods of time. My ministry in the 20-odd years was mainly with all farming communities. There were fathers there that would be basically almost work 24 hours. The children would hardly see them. The only way they could get to see them would be to find out where they are out on the paddock somewhere. It was a struggle. This is what our current society today is dealing with. Any reason why we end up having to put ads on TV to say what fathers are to be like. But it's not all doom and gloom, because we have a wonderful Heavenly Father, and He gives us examples to follow. He gives us things that we can hold on to and take away. You see, He's telling us that be present with your children physically and emotionally. Find creative ways to let your children know that they are yours and that you won't trade them for the world. Understand that you are not perfect, but which human parent is? Stop beating yourself up over your shortcomings, which, as I was saying before, about my time away. Even though you may have to be absent, it still doesn't mean that there is some way of being able to connect. Back when I was away overseas, there were no such things. We had a satellite phone. The satellite phone, I'm not joking, was a suitcase. It was that, by about so thick. And the Australian government didn't like too much that you used it because it cost a lot of money. But I could still write. Letters would get through. And I wrote. Our Heavenly Father's example also. Rely on your loving Heavenly Father to give you the grace you need to be the father He wants you to be. He will help you to be present, acknowledging, loving, and affirming to your children. He promises to be the father you always wanted and needed. Just as the Heavenly Father opened the heavens to proclaim His love for His Son, Jesus, He will touch the pain in your heart and pour out love and mercy to heal your deepest wounds. You see, we have someone that we can hold on to. Even though we might think we're a failure, He does not see us as that. If we rely upon Him, He will certainly guide us. He will guide us in all we do. We only have to look to our Bibles and what Jesus and His relationship with His Father, and Father and Son in that relationship. And while ever we may not be to that level, we can certainly rely upon Him for Him to guide us and to try to attain that greater level of being a father. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that You and your Son, Jesus, our one and only Lord and Saviour, had such a good relationship. Such a relationship that there was never one like it before, there will never be one like it again. A relationship that sets an example for us as fathers, as parents, that we can relate to. It is not something unrelatable. It is not something that's just too hard. It is something that we must come to you with, rely upon you for, and therefore have that relationship with our own children in the same way. Father, guide us, we pray, in all that we do each and every day as parents, as those who have children, or those who are aspiring to children. May we never forget that we have a wonderful relationship. We can have a wonderful relationship with you no matter what. You will never let us down. You will never forsake us. And that has been proven with your Son. Guide us, we pray, in and through the name of that dear and wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.